Welcome to Epic Life.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, it's Rachel and Sarah back at it again. You didn't think it would happen, but trust me, it's happening.
It's happening and we're back. This is a podcast about what totally rocks.
Who's out to lunch?
Things that have happened to us.
And things that are currently happening at us.
It's wild. Oh my gosh. So a lot has happened to us and it happened to us. Welcome back from your European tour.
Sarah, thank you very much. And welcome back into my life. Because when I was away, there was no way for us to be together.
I know. That was the weirdest thing, was that we actually were apart. I was in Brooklyn, New York, and you were in a few different spots.
I was jet setting across the globe.
Wow. Okay, so let's take everybody back. You decided to go on this wild trip. This is pretty unique.
Tell 4 days before, or like a week before it was time to go. I quit my job. No. It had to be 2 weeks. 2 weeks and a couple days.
Yeah, because you did an official quitting where you gave them 2 weeks notice.
I really believe in being a good girl.
Yeah.
And so I said, hey, girl, quitting. And then 2 weeks later, I was out of here.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it really is that simple.
You went to France for clown school. You went to Lisbon.
Yeah, to chillax. And then I went to Edinburgh for the Fringe Festival, which is such a crazy thing.
Yeah, okay. So I guess this is like this is wild. Like, you lived like 4,000 lives. And then as that happened, in real time, I only like had one long blink.
No, you did so much stuff. You got a new job.
Oh, yeah, whatever. It's like, yeah, things are cool. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that, wow, you did so much.
Yeah, I guess. Or I just went so many places.
Yeah, you went so much. Yeah,
I like, and I thought a lot. And also, it was, sorry to say, but it's so nice to be alone, because then you get to be like, this is what I want to do. You know, like for 2 months, it was like, this is what I want to do. And I don't give a crap if other people are like annoyed with me or don't want to do it or whatever, because it's all about me.
Yeah, totally. So what did you find yourself choosing for yourself?
Usually a lot of huge snacks.
Yeah.
I pretty much ate like 13 times a day everywhere I went, because
it's more fun. Yeah, but in certain places you couldn't find anything to eat because you are famously gluten-free.
Well, that was, I guess, part of the problem. It was like anytime I saw something I could eat, I would leap at the opportunity.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the time I was like, okay, well, that's like...
Feast or famine.
Famine. Yeah, that's bread.
Yeah, there's bread all over the place in Europe. I've seen and heard.
It's all they care about. Everyone's like, ooh, baguette. I'm like, I really could not keep going like this.
Yeah, you're like, that will hurt me.
I love vegetables. Sorry, sue me.
Yeah.
That shit tastes good and it scrubs the insides like a sponge.
I remember we were texting and you said, you're like, what they say is true. Wherever you go, there you are.
Yes.
Remember saying that?
Yes.
It's so interesting. I was like, wow, I really think I laughed so hard because I thought it was so funny, but it's true. Like, you're yourself, but in brand new places.
Yeah, and whenever I would get sad, I was like, oh yeah, you're still sad, bitch.
Yeah, because, well, that's the thing. I think that, especially, I bet there's a big... there's lots of pressure to feel happy when you're on vacation or on a trip, because you're like, this is something that I set out to do to be happy, but I'm sad in this place. But it's not like you're permanently sad, but I think that's...
And also you feel guilty about being sad because you're like, this is such a massive privilege and a blessing. And so it's like, I should just be so happy.
But that's like, for sure. And I think it's okay to be happy, but also it's like, I don't know. I think it's like, isn't it so cool when we're able to allow ourselves to have room to not just be like super stoked all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like good self-parenting or something.
And it's like a people-pleasing thing that is like, I always have to be like the person who's like jazzed and like the person who's like easygoing and like, let's have a good time, you know?
Oh, I'm the exact same way. In fact, it's how people identify me and it's what people say they love the most about me. So there's like, I'm like, well, then it really makes it hard to navigate like emotions that aren't like gung-ho, because I'm like, people don't want to, they've like made it weirdly apparent that they don't ever want to see me in a difficult time, or that's how I like hear it. So it's like, I remember my one friend saying, you're my high frequency friend, and I'm just like, if you don't think that I experience all the different frequencies, you're out to lunch, babe.
You're freaking out to lunch. Also, it like really is one of those things where it's like, if people are always telling you, oh my God, I love how high energy you always are, then you like have to keep doing it. And it's like, sometimes it's so good to come into a friendship low energy so that when you're high energy, uh-huh. you aren't shocked to their core. Oh my God. Fun.
Yeah, for sure. I also think
that's not
that
realistic, but
I just feel like I'm genuinely stoked when I run into friends and everything. So they do see the best parts of me, but then I think people get it. I think people get it, but I mean, I just imagine that it's almost the same thing when you're on a trip. You're sort of like, I'm supposed to be, you pictured yourself being blissful there. That's why you kind of etched out that plan. But then, if you find yourself like, but I think it's almost, you got to look at it like poetry or like a music video or something. I'm allowed to be drifting like on this like train in Europe and just sort of like looking at the window and like, I'm allowed to feel totally upset because isn't it so overwhelming how beautiful everything is and how sad we can be? Wow.
Also, when I was abroad, I was like, I really don't know how long people will be allowed to travel for. Like, I know that's so, like, pessimistic and, like, doomsday vibes, but, like, it really does... the whole time I was abroad, I was like, this is so irresponsible of me to, like, just for fun be, like, fucking up the environment so hard with every plane that I'm taking. And, like, obviously I wasn't taking so many or whatever, but, like, I don't know. It does feel like it'll, like, they'll put a ban on it or something, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, they definitely did during the heights of COVID, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that must be kind of trippy because we've experienced seeing what it's like when there are travel bans.
Yeah.
So it's like, how are we getting away with this?
Yeah, and I just, it feels like, I don't know, I'm like being doom.
Oh, yeah,
like a little scared about the environment.
I mean, that's so legit. I mean, it's so legit to have environmental fears because it is like, it is real. But I think the other thing is like, there's all those like, people say to try to balance out the negative, like the scary fear thoughts with some good news. So there's like, there are lots of like Instagram accounts and like good news stations that tell you about like the amazing things people are doing to help the environment.
Yes, like so Greta Thunberg.
Well, I guess so. I don't know.
That girl is literally bae.
Yeah, totally. It's so wild. But anyways, tell us about first stop, Clown School.
Clown school, awesome. Two weeks, I got COVID halfway through. And there's like this old, brilliant man, Philippe, who is everyone, every single person you talk to is like, oh, it's good you got in there. He's really old.
That's the teacher?
Yeah.
Can you paint a picture for us of what he's like?
He's like grumpy and kind of like, his face is kind of smushed. Because he's old and
how old is he, in like his 70s or 80s or something?
He's gotta be in his 80s. I have no idea. And he has like a really high pitched voice and all he says is like the meanest stuff you've ever heard in your entire life, but it's like so funny.
For example?
He'll say that you like were like a wet fart in a bathtub after you perform, or like ask if everyone in the audience wishes that they were like on the Malaysian flight that crashed while you were performing, like just really like insane.
Really like exaggerated insults.
Yeah,
which seems kind of clown vibes.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And did people take it personally or were they into it?
Most people were fine. There was like a couple people who like were like used to acting and being in the theater school where everyone's like, you're amazing, you're beautiful, you're so good. And then I think this was kind of like shocking.
Mm-hmm.
But generally everyone
that's
was like
actually weirdly satisfying.
Yeah, it was freaking out. The whole thing was so satisfying because he really like called out like when people were being like over the top or like cheesy or like trying so hard to be liked. He was like, that we see right through it immediately. This is like disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And for the people who've never heard that in their life, that they're like annoying or that their performance style sucks, it's like, man, that rocks.
Yeah, it is really funny. And there's something about somebody who's just like an old French man who can just sort of like yelp like things at people. And then you just like, they're in the instructor, so you just have to take it because people always want, sometimes people want to like want nuanced criticism.
Yeah.
Like people who are really theatrical, I'm like, you're not gonna get it.
Yeah, and I saw people like really struggle with that. Like, there, well, I don't want to get into. Well, I'll talk. But there's just like so much like people realizing, oh, this is gonna be a different kind of vibe.
Yeah, I mean, checking our egos at the door is like one of the hardest things ever.
But it's so nice, especially with performing, because then you're like, oh my God, it's like really is not about me and it's about letting something move through me.
Wow.
And then it's like, I'm just kind of like a vessel for
God working through me.
Exactly. God not to be like so me. Corny or like Stanislavski vibes, but it
no,
really
I
is
think
like,
it's nice. It's nice to take yourself out of the equation a bit and just like work on impulse.
Yeah. It felt amazing. And also it's like really like, I was just talking to this girl about it last night that it was like for people with ADHD, sorry to say,
yeah.
But it really is just like, freaking awesome because you're doing like 8 things with your body and mind at the same time.
Ooh.
And so it's so helpful for like staying focused and staying in the moment because you're like, oh my God, I've got to be using every part of my body and brain.
Really?
Like doing little like, yeah.
Tell me, can you give me an example of what that might look like?
Yeah, I don't know. Like one of the like exercises that we did, it was like a stupid improv exercise, but it was like you're doing like 30 different things at once where you're like passing different stuff in different directions and like
okay.
making sure that you're walking and paying attention to everyone and like checking in that everyone's okay and listening out for the thing that you're supposed to be listening for.
Mm.
Or there was one thing where it was like, we did kind of like a pas de bourrée type thing.
What's that?
Or a box step, like back, oh, yes. side, front, back, side, front. And then we would like do different claps. And like we would kind of go around in a circle. This sounds so stupid.
No, it sounds really hard.
We would do a box step all together, like 1, 2, 3, 4. And then we would do, it's like drumming those things where it's like up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down with one hand. Do you know
Whoa,
what I'm talking about?
Like, yeah, okay.
This one's doing like a 4 count. This one's doing a 3 count.
I think I would have probably had an aneurysm at that point.
It was so challenging and such, but it was also like after
like playful
2 years of not working like a desk job where I'm using my brain at all. It was so cool to like access like the math parts.
Ooh.
Or like the, just like a different part of my brain that I hadn't touched in a while.
Yes.
And so it was awesome. Anyway, sorry for talking about it so much.
Just what? I'm asking you. Oh. And everybody wants to know. You can't go all the way around the world and think that nobody's going to have any follow-up questions.
Okay, that's so true. That's so true. It would be selfish for me not to share.
Yeah, and if you wanted to look at it that way.
And then we also, yeah, it was like there were 2 classes. One was movement and one was improvisation. And movement, we like played games and did like body stuff and like we would do stuff with like other people to get comfortable with them. Like we did like a lot of stuff where you're like holding someone's hand and like balancing your weight on each other and like just trying to get comfortable like trusting people and also Ooh. Asking people what you need or like communicating.
Oh my God. Okay, need. These are almost like life lessons.
It was so nice. I literally was like, every like couple should do this because it's so helpful for just being like, this is how we play together. This is how we like tell each other when we need something. This is how we like are very honest about what's not working. Like, I think it would be amazing.
Oh my
if
God.
Every couple did
for, that just stirred something within me. It like, yeah, I think that is so beautiful because I think that if, yeah, it's like, it's absolute connection and communication. Like you're like physically connected and then you're like looking out for each other at the same time. And it's sort of like, and being honest about what's working for you.
Yeah. Also, it was like, it was so, like they, I mean, the school is like every now and then, not inappropriate, but there was just stuff that was like, okay, this is France for sure.
This is France.
Like in America,
and this guy for sure was doing this in like many decades ago.
Yeah. And like lots of kissing. Not that much has changed. Yeah. A lot of kissing. And then a lot of like, he would just be like, do you want to fuck from the bathroom? Or like, do you want to fuck from the door to the bedroom, or do you think you'll give up? Like when we were like establishing what they call complicité, which is just like connection.
Yes.
Or like a, yeah, complicity with someone. He was like, do you want to fuck from the door to the bedroom, or do you think you'll like get bored in the kitchen? Or like, do you think they'll even make it inside?
Oh my God, that is such a cool, honestly, I'm thinking about it in terms of like literal dating and relationships as well, but that's a good question.
Yeah. And also, I mean, it like is so similar where it's like if you meet someone on a date and you're like not fucking connecting immediately, you know right away. Like
yeah.
sometimes you meet someone and they're like really curious and their eyes are lit up talking to you and your eyes are lit up talking to them.
Yeah. Yes. And then you're like, this rocks.
Yeah, it freaking is so rare, but it's sick.
Yes.
And then when you meet someone who's like out to lunch, freaking on their phone, just like, oh, I'm still thinking
or
about
like
my
or
ex.
Like they're trying, but you just don't feel the natural like,
yeah.
you don't. You're like, I don't really want this. It's yeah, it's tough, but that's complicité.
Yeah,
that's like how you measure it, right?
Yeah,
you're like, you're like, we're not gonna make it past the doorway because.
No.
I respect you, but I don't want to jump your bones
exactly.
energetically or physically.
Exactly. Also, it's like dating is so play. Like when you're like flirting with people, it's like
that's playful
just playing with someone. And
I love that. I love that this is like such abstract exercises to help you kind of like connect or like discover fun ways of like being playful.
Yeah, and paying attention and like just so many things that were like, you're not in this. Like there was little stuff where we would play a game and it would be like someone was like distracted and like the teacher would be like, okay, well, where were you? Like, get back in here. You know, wow. It's like you have nothing else to do but play this game.
Yeah.
Life is so easy when you're playing this stupid game. Like, what could you possibly be thinking about? Get in here.
Yeah.
And that was so nice and meditative.
That is. It's so, being present is so, can be so, it's such a practice. And yeah. It's like, it's the key. It's the key to everything.
And it's like when you're present, you're open to other people's stuff. Like, if someone's trying to pass you something, like if it's like an idea or like a physical thing and you're like off somewhere else, then you're not fun to play with.
Oh my God.
But if you're like present and you're excited and you're open, then you're fun to play with.
That's exactly. Oh my gosh. These are like life lessons. It's like micro macro. Yeah, it really is.
It's like such stupid stuff. And like explaining it to my dad, he was like, okay, well, whatever. But he has,
I know,
like, no,
right?
Joy.
That's the thing. It's like sometimes it's like you can be so in it in these classes, but then yeah, trying to explain it outside of it must be challenging because it's like either people can make the leap and be like, wow, or they can be like, what?
What the fuck? Yeah. It's so embarrassing. Yeah. A lot of it was so.
Well, it's like, I feel like you kind of have to be their vibes sometimes.
And, yeah, definitely. And also it was like afterwards we would all just be like, oh God, that was so like, I was so shit.
Really?
It's like you were shit at trying to grab a bandana from someone's back pocket. Like, don't worry about it. You know what I mean? It was like, we would all like leave like in such different states because some people would like crush and like make everyone laugh. And other people were like, I just couldn't like make it work today.
Yeah.
And so everyone was like, okay. Well,
did you guys do individual clown turns?
Not during when I was there, or not before I got COVID.
Oh yeah, but they ended up doing that.
I think so. Yeah, yeah. That in clown. So I was there for Le Jeu, which is just the game. And
oh yes, Le Jeu. I forgot about that. When I was in school, we had a special guest artist come in and teach us Le Jeu.
Yeah,
and that was we did like 2 weeks with this Le Jeu teacher.
That freaking rocks.
I forgot that's what it was called. And yeah, we're all like, sweet. It was so cute. We'd be like. Because that was like when we were in ninth grade.
Yeah.
Or in Canadian, we call it grade 9.
Of course.
Anyways, we were like, I'm like, we have a special Le Jeu teacher. And like, we were like so excited.
Such a cool like schooling.
Yeah, we did. That
what
program doesn't exist anymore.
That's
it
such
was called,
a bummer.
Yeah, it was like a special arts program that we got to go to. But then, yeah, funding doesn't exist anymore. So I do feel very lucky. It was like super informative. I think that's why there's a part of me that gets so stoked for you to do these kind of like theatrical adventures. Because I was like, it lights up this part of me that I had when I was like a formative age being like introduced to this whole other world in like subgenres in the arts, being like anything's possible, and like if it was just excitement, it like brings me to this place of excitement, being like, what's this gonna be like, and like just like weird older instructors coming in and like teaching us like weird things that made no sense to our parents when we came home and explained
exactly
it.
Yeah, it's
and
so
like
sweet.
And it's like playful and it's bonding and it's strange. Like, it's like what we're doing makes no logical sense,
but
you
does
have to go
feel
but
good.
You just have to go with it. It's almost like trusting can be so hard.
Yeah,
it's hard not to be cynical and stuff like that. Like, we're so conditioned to protect ourselves with cynicism.
Yeah,
so
and like be cool.
Yeah, be cool, or be like, I'm too cool for this, or like, what do you mean by that, or whatever. Yeah. If you
or like, what's this for, why am I learning this?
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to kind of let the other parts of your like psychology just like the strange like impression vibes come in, like, or abstract vibes, I guess I should say.
I wish like in middle school when we were like, why are we learning this, like that the teachers were just like, it is good to keep as many of the pathways in your brain open as possible.
Yes.
And like open up new ones, you know, like when you're young.
Yeah,
learn
yeah.
different ways to do math, even if you don't understand why you're doing it right now. Just like, I wish my teachers were like smarter when I had been in school and been like, why am I fucking learning this?
Well, yeah, well, that's, well, the thing is you can't usually control who becomes teachers. Like, I have a lot of friends who've become teachers over the years, and some of them do it for these beautiful reasons where they love being around kids and new minds, and they get such a blast of these small moments, and they really care about what they're bringing to the table, and they really care about, they're like, we're doing the school play this year. They're like so stoked, and they're like in it, and they're present, and they're stoked. And I have friends who are like, oh, I'm never going to make it as a writer, so I'm just going to become a supply teacher. Jesus and they're like, Christ. And it's like, and they're so miserable at school. And then they see all the old, they're like, I saw my old, our old teacher there. And I remember like, it's just so weird. Like, it's almost like they just, they became a teacher because they gave up rather than become a teacher because they're like genuinely excited. Stoked about it. So there's just like, there's just so many reasons why people do it. And a lot of people like having evenings and weekends and summers off. That's why they, you know what I mean? And they're like, it's like a job for some people, and other people it's like a calling. It's wow. And that's, I think, the same for most people in different lines of work. It's tough. It's like, it can be so strange, but I think it's really important to realize what lights me up is hearing about the friends who are doing it, because they're like, this is the exact life I always wanted. Yeah. Like, they're like, these kids are so funny. Like, this is what they said, or this is what happened, or we brought this in, and this is what they did, and this is how they're learning about, like, I don't know, this and that. And they're like, I can see that they're like tickled pink by it all in this like really funny way.
And I can like remember which teachers of mine did feel like that.
Yeah, you can always tell.
Yeah.
Like, which amazing. Teachers feel have a bit of, yeah, they're like a little bit more magical or...
And just so excited, you know, like, mm-hmm. not every day, of course, because
yeah, they're grown-ups. But there's something about them that's a little bit more plugged in and like...
And like a little magical.
A little magical, and I felt like that was so... That was an element of being a kid that was like, you could always tell what adults liked being around kids and which ones didn't. Like, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's so strange. Yeah. But anyways.
And what's been new with you while I've been away?
Oh, I don't know. Who knows? Like, I mean, like...
The apartment has ants.
Oh, yeah. We had some ants. They're actually cooled out a bit, which is good. But rocks. I know. That's the whole thing. I'd say, like, the number one... I'm really happy that you're back. Like, it's, like, so exciting.
I am, too. It's nice to have all my stuff, too.
Yeah.
Because I really only had, like, the smallest amount of stuff, and it's nice to have a lot more stuff.
Yeah. Oh my God. Totally. You've been like living out of a bag.
Yeah. And it was a small bag.
It's a small bag. And it was like really rainy at Edinburgh, right?
Yeah. I wore the same thing every day and I always look like tech crew. Everyone always made fun of me. I was just wearing like black and everyone was like, oh, are you tech? I was like, no, I'm here because I'm having fun.
Okay, this is something actually I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, or as Michelle called it on Instagram,
the Cringe Festival.
The Edinburgh Cringe Festival.
Valid.
So funny. But anyways, it's so interesting. I've never been to the fest. I've never participated in it. But oopsies. Sorry, the mic stand's falling. It's something that I've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And like, but it's like, it's interesting because it's like, I see so many people who go there with their solo shows, uh-huh. and then I've heard kind of through the grapevine or from the mouths of God themselves that they, you know, they're doing hour-long shows, they're doing 40 of them, it's like really draining, it's really tough, or some people who go in with good producers have a much nicer experience because they have a lot of support, blah, 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 but the whole thing really seemed like... How big can you make it at the Fringe, right? And that's sort of like, I'm like, okay, like, yeah, we're all trying to like make it in this industry. But when you went, you kind of had like a bit of like a little lantern on all of the different aspects of Edinburgh that a lot of my like world has not been talking about.
I thought it was such a fun way. I mean, it...
You went there
so
not with
fun.
Your solo show. You went there just to hop on random people's shows, but also and you went there to discover
and meet people.
And meet people. You were like, I'm not interested in hanging out with the same people I've already known forever. You were like stoked about meeting new people. There were some clowns joined you along the way that you met from your clown school.
And there were just so many random... Like, there was this one boy who flyered for Sophie, who I became really good friends with because I just liked him so much. Mm-hmm. And so, like, every time we saw each other at shows, it was like such a blessing, and like there were so many random people, or there were these girls that came to one of my shows and I like went out with them one night because they liked me a lot and I liked them, and then there was just like so many. It was so lucky to be free there and like a massive gift, and I really think that like going there with a show can be amazing, but it can also just like be so exhausting and painful.
Well, also,
and I saw every single person who had a solo show like crying at some point or just like having a huge breakdown, and I was like, you totally need to remember that this is for fun. And I think it's really easy to get lost in. I mean, same with like here, you know, like in New York, we're supposed to be doing this for fun. And then it just like turns into this like rat race and this like competitive thing.
Well, as soon as it starts getting competitive, that's when the you know, the joy is sucked out of it.
Yeah. And I feel like my joy for comedy has just been sucked.
Well, yeah, and that's why this was such a oopsies. God, this fucking microphone stand sucks my dick. Anyways, I think that's why I think that you're wired differently than most performers I know. I think that you're like, you are, you're interested in the, in discovery. You're interested in subcultures. You're interested in who's being silly and weird and why. And also you don't care about who the spotlight's on. You're actually more interested in discovering and being a part of kind of playful, like, groups of performers or people who seem to be doing stuff in totally strange and different ways. Like, you have an element of needing to find like creativity that you, or witnessing creativity that you can sink your teeth into. You don't need, you're like less capitalistic about it or something.
Yeah. And I guess like some of that definitely does come from like being like supported or like having some money type thing, like where I like, I'm not so worried about, or not worried, but like I understand when people are like, if I don't figure out a way to make money off this, I'll die, because like, sure, of course.
Well, yeah, it's like, isn't it, but like, I 10 grand to like go over there and like try to put up your own show or something?
I don't know how much.
I heard it's very expensive.
There are some free shows that you can do there that are like, you just have to pay for your flight and like lodging, and then you get donations, and you can also work while you're there. Like, while I was there, I was helping my friend's flyer, and you can like make a bunch of money teching. It's like, there's a way to do it and come out net like not so much money. But if you want to like put up a huge show and become world famous or whatever, I guess it does cost so much money.
Yeah, I guess I've only seen people do the famous style where they're, yeah, like, I need to be famous or something. But there's something that it feels so relaxing to hear about, like for instance, the yurt, the famous yurt. Anybody who's been,
so
anybody
much
who's
fun
been following along your journey online can say that you spent a lot of time in some fucking yurt that had like all sorts of performances and hangouts in it, and lots of like older theatrical people that just seemed really silly. It just wasn't, it was a total like almost like vaudevillian style.
It really did feel like the, like carnival, like there
carnival
was a bus
vibes
and a yurt that were like kind of detached. They were like right in the center of town, but they were like under a bridge and far away from any of the other venues. Not far away, but it was just like hidden, so it was like quiet and nice. And there were always like really weird shows in there.
Yeah, really strange shows. You performed at a few, and then you just were kind of in the mix, like being a part of the community there. I mean, that's what I'm saying. This is like actually the perfect like visual. Like, you are moving away from the big theaters. You're going down a little road to where there's like a glowing yurt and bus. And you're like, that's where I'm actually more interested in hanging out. You were there a lot.
Yeah.
There was tinfoil hats. There was tinfoil in your eyebrows. Can you tell the folks at
home? Oh, yeah. There was
what happened?
There was a happy shed. This guy found a shed. He like was this cool guy who had like he was a painter, and he had a bike that he painted. And you ride around. And there was a shed outside of the Blendabus and the yurt. And it was this Blendabus and the Spiegel yurt. And this guy, like, he was like, it was really boring when I got here, but I wanted it to be, like, hospitable. So I put a bunch of tinfoil all over the inside and some, like, pretty lights. And then I made it a rule that if you're in the happy tent, you have to, or happy shed, you have to have a tinfoil hat on to keep the bad thoughts out. And so everyone like would come in and like put on a hat. And even like I was in there so often, and there would be like fratty people coming in just like, what the fuck is this? And then they would put on a hat and they'd be like Giggles McGee.
Really?
All night. Yeah, it was just like, it was just such a funny thing. And it really is like, if you've got a tinfoil hat on your head, you're like, you can't not laugh. You know what I mean?
That's so fun. That's so silly and playful and weird. I mean, I just like, I like that you're like, for sure, there are a lot. Like, it's so funny. Like, you find these spots that work for you.
Whenever I didn't have something to do, because it was like, otherwise I'd spend money, like, going to a cafe, especially because it was raining all the time. Like, and I was, like, living, like, half an hour from the center of town. So anytime I, like, didn't have something to do, I was like, well, just...
Yeah, that was, here, like, your home base.
Yeah, rock.
And then, like, the shows you did there looked so dope as well.
It was so much fun. It was really hot in there. And so the watching them was kind of exhausting. But
yeah,
performing was so much fun. Jessie Moyner-Ritt put me in on, like, my favorite show.
What show was that?
It was just, like, a variety show that she hosted, but it was so good. And then
was
there
that, was that happen regularly? What was it called?
It was just once. It was, like, a midnight show that she and... Isabella Gersole put on, that was just like their characters from Joy's Bed and Breakfast, Joy and Butler. And it was really fun. And then also I did like this, there was this really cool Australian like burlesque couple who had me on, and I like begged to be on. And then I was worried I did a bad job, but I think I did okay.
I'm sure you did great. Your shows looked like fun. And then you did Petting Zoo. So those are our buddies here. Mm-hmm.
And then there was this fun show called Focaccia that Zach Reimers put on. And it was like just for fun. It was really crazy. It was free fringe in like this really damp, stinky bar.
Oh my God.
That smelled like a yeast infection. Sorry to say that, it's disgusting, but it was like the nastiest place in the universe. Mm-hmm. But it was like so fun, and right on the street, so like people came in and everyone just got to be loose. And I really like when the host is like, there's no pressure to do well. Like when a host is like clearly anxious, it's like, oh, I want to like do well so that no one's scared, like, and I get invited back. But with Zach, he really was just like, just have fun. And that is such a gift.
Yeah, to give your, I mean, that's what you gravitate towards. That's what's the clear as a bell to me, is that you're like, you really gravitate. I love it because it's sort of like a lot of people I think that there's only one way to do this, and it's just to try to quote unquote make it, and they measure their happiness from like kind of those kind of things. But really it's like, no, you're sort of thinking, how do I feel? Do I feel surprised? Do I feel silly? Do I feel comfortable? Do I feel funny and fun? Like, just for fun is something you just said a ton in a row, because I think that that's like a really big key element.
Also, I was talking to, when I was in Edinburgh, I saw this girl who I went to camp with, Emery, and we were talking about how like when we were young, we went to performing arts camp that was like this really competitive, like intense place, and we were like, I think it kind of like killed both of our joys for performing a little bit. Mm. Because we were both like not like the girl or yeah. the like, and I was yeah. like always a character actress, so like no one ever cared about me. And the first day of camp, you get there, you're like seven to like 14 years old, or like 15 or whatever, and you, the first day you unpack, and then you have to go audition, and you wait in line for like 4 hours, which is so stressful. And then you go in front of 20 adults who all have like a pen and paper, who are staring at you and like so tired because they've been sitting there for 4 hours watching people perform. And you have like 30 seconds to do something, and then it's over, and then that's your 3 weeks of camp. Like,
it's like American Idol, the first round.
It was so fucking stressful, and you like watch like the other people audition. Like, they would take us in like 20 people at a time, and it was like so stressful. And you're, like,
at such a young age,
yeah.
Yeah.
I remember like having panic attacks in the porta potties before I went in, just like, oh my God, this is so scary. And then you get a call back or you don't, and then for 3 weeks you're in a show just based off 30 seconds of audition that you waited 4 hours to do. And so it was like this awful stressful thing that like meant so much to me. And then I was like, oh, like I actually had so much more fun, like the days when we were just like in a rain, like it was raining, and we went to a dance studio and like belted mm-hmm. at each other, or like practiced dancing.
Yeah, I mean competitions is really a lot of people, it sucks the life out of people.
Yeah. And it's just like, it, when you're winning, you're alone. And when you lose, you're alone. But if you're just like playing, having fun the whole time, no yeah. one's alone and everyone's loving each other.
Yeah. I feel like that's a foundational aspect to how you produce work too.
Thanks.
Yeah, like all the shows you put on. Like, it's like, even like the 8 a.m. show that you did for a while, it felt like this. It felt like you have this, like it was fantastical. You had this element of like I don't know. Like, this is like, this is crazy, but let's try it. Like, honestly, for those of you who don't know, Rachel had an 8 a.m. show in Herbert Von King Park, and it was so funny because people would show up. It was like Saturday or Sunday mornings. What?
Sunday morning.
Sunday morning like at 8 a.m. and it would be so packed with people.
It was so fun.
So fun. But the thing was, is like,
it was for fun.
It was for
because
fun.
No industry was ever going to come at 8 a.m. And no yes. one was going to get booked on a different show because they were on 8 a.m. Like, no
but
getting
then,
famous
but the way people rolled up with huge smiles on their faces, they couldn't believe they set their alarm for like 7. They got ready. They headed out. They arrived at the park right before 8. you would have bagels or like cereal for people. It was so cute. There was like such a mix of strange people there. Lots of other comics just coming to check it out. Like it ignites this like excitement in people because you're like, this is just for fun. You bent these like, this isn't a prime time and this isn't a regular location. You bent it into such a funny extreme that people are like, this could only be just for fun.
Yeah.
And then there's some people, it was like the perfect show for them because they're naturally early risers. Mm-hmm. So it was like,
and it's so disorienting doing comedy during the daytime.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm used to being drunk and it's used to being dark.
I had so much fun the time that I did it because after the show, everybody felt really bonded for being there. And then we all like, we as a huge group, we all walked to like a coffee shop together and like hung out and just chatted. And I was like, I mean, like, dude, you got to know that this makes you so unique.
Thanks, Sarah.
Nobody else is like you. Nobody else would ever do this. And it's like, and it ignites something in everybody.
Girl,
it really does.
Thanks.
It's like really special.
Thanks.
Yeah. Like, it's almost like brilliant in a way because you're taking some normal like ways that people do stuff and you're turning certain elements to such a funny degree, whether it's time or location. And then like, even the funniest part was, is that all your Insta stories all the night before you're being like, it's 1 a.m. I don't know why we're doing this tomorrow. This is so stressful. Like the way you were so honest about it was an extra funny thing where like, it almost like banded people together being like, I gotta go to this.
Thanks, Sarah. Oh my gosh. I love you so much, dude. I missed you so much.
You got to know that you're an artist and you're like, you naturally do really funny things, like, and like you like, very clown of you, you follow your impulses. Even when you did that thing on Insta stories one time, you took a picture of the inside of our fridge and you're like, let's see the insides of everybody else's fridge. And then you had a day where you posted everybody's pictures that they sent you,
and I saw some fucked up fridges.
There was,
some of you are sick in the head and should be getting help. I love you, get some help. What is wrong with you? Anyway, the rest of you, you're normal.
But I thought it was almost like seeing a beautiful art exhibit in a way. It's almost like, remember that art exhibit you were showing me photos from where it was like parents, portraits of parents in their kids' bedrooms or teenagers' bedrooms, right? You're like, this is so interesting. Portraits of everybody's fridges or whatever was like the insides of everybody's fridge is so interesting too, because every, like, you can run, but you can't hide. Boy, is it, and it's so revealing to see how filthy or dirty somebody's fridge can be, or how barren and stark someone's fridge could be. Like, and those are two extremes, or like, it's just like, and also in this day and age of TikToks where people love doing the organization stuff for their fridges and pantries, you're like, you're psycho, oh God, man.
Those
like,
made me so upset. And it's just like a million things they bought off Amazon that like they're pouring like a bag of like peanuts into a container and it's like so much plastic.
Oh my God, totally,
it makes me
right.
So sad.
I know. Anyways, like, that was, what did you learn from seeing all those different people's fridges? Not to make it about the fridge thing.
Okay, so I think that if your fridge has too much, you're in danger. And if your fridge has not enough, you're in danger.
You're in danger. But do you really gleam this? Like, or do you think these people who you only use,
well, I just could see eating disorders. Like,
yeah,
pretty fast and clear when it was like really obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just really hope that they're okay and that they are even a little bit aware of the fact that they have that, and maybe they're working towards like having a more comfortable relationship.
Yeah, because you could kind of tell who wasn't like eating, nourishing themselves.
Yeah,
I guess.
Or just like who was like so strict and so like, excuse me, so focused on zero calorie or low calorie stuff. Or or like, sorry, I'm so burpy. I don't know what's happening.
It's okay.
but yeah, I was. Oh, I forgot to check how long we're doing. I can look at the
clock, take a look.
It's strange without Colby. 39 minutes. That's awesome.
Oh my God.
39 minutes of me like lecturing you about freaking playing balls.
No, that's not what just happened at all. There's been some beautiful back and forth. We have been playing ball.
That's true.
This has been a beautiful gliding tennis match, I'd
Girl,
say.
I love you.
I
so
wish
much.
I could play tennis.
What's totally rocking?
One thing that rocks, well, the first thing that was definitely going to say was that you coming back really rocks. I feel like this is like a marked next chapter, which feels nice. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's like people need like a New Year's Day scenario, but this is sort of like, oh, Rachel's back. Like, I'm so excited for the rest of the summer and like back to school vibes, which we don't go back to school, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like
time to watch Fame again.
Oh my God.
We need to have a bunch of people over watch Fame.
I really love that.
Perfect.
That would be really nice. Yeah. I think that I feel like I'm in a weird kind of a weird kind of space right now. And so it feels really good to have such like loving, connected people in my life, especially, not to be a bitch, but like all the women in my life are so present.
I love girls.
And offering so much, and like it's so nice. So it's like, yeah, even us just like hanging on the couch and like having our chats or watching stuff together always feels really nourishing to me. And so I'm really excited for more of that. Yeah, man, a Fame group watch would be so like next level fun.
The second it starts getting cold, we're putting it in the books.
One of the things that's out to lunch for me right now, and I don't mean to be taking it so personally, is the chill in the air.
Oh, yeah.
There's a chill in the air, and I know that it's not forever. Like, there will be more heat waves. There will be another heat wave, but I think it's the first taste of the next season I can feel, and people get excited about that. But
I hate it when I know that winter is coming.
Yeah, well, it'll be fall first, so it's like, but I think that's just classic anxiety. They always say anxiety is being in the future, depression is being in the past, so that's why we're always trying to be present as much as we can. But yeah, so I think like being worried about that is classic just anxiety,
yeah,
of time passing. But I think that but I do get excited about jackets and pants. Like, I think that's always like, it's so fun to like kind of turn out your look a little bit, switch it up, always feels kind of nice.
I hope that I'm different in the winter.
Really? How so?
I hope that I'm like in love and I have a job.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's always what's up, right? It's like feeling comfortable, making a little money, getting laid in a beautiful, connected way where you're like, I like this person and there's momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like, I feel so like I've been so stuck. Obviously, right now I'm feeling good because I like have been on this trip. But I think if this year is similar to last year, I'll be really, really sad.
Well, can I just say that it's all about planting seeds and nurturing them, letting things grow. You know what I mean? Sometimes we're like, we plant seeds and then we're like, why aren't you grown yet? But really, it's like we have to like realize that there's different irons in the fire at different states of like readiness, whether it's a joke, a show, an idea, a relationship, a friendship, anything. It's like things are blossoming at all different times. And so it's like, how can I just be like a loving gardener to my life and not just like cursing the skies for not giving me exactly what I want. I'm like, where's my bountiful cornucopia? Where is it?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Bitch, it's like you have to, like, love the process.
Plant a freaking gourd, bitch.
Yeah, remember, have you ever bought a packet of seeds before? That's really cute. Yeah. So it's like we're buying the packet of seeds, we're sowing them. One thing that's really cool, this is like I've been like kind of going through some like tough vibes, and I gotta say my journaling is back on point. There's there's nothing like turning on that lantern to the murky depths and just sort of taking a look around, journal style. It's like, I think it's like, it's like people who kind of who write sad songs. They're like, well, because when I was happy, I was living. So it's like, that's kind of what it's like.
And then the sad song, it's like, the leaves are falling.
The leaves are falling, but also it feels good to like express stuff. It's like, it's like realizing that things are processing. When you're able to write about stuff, even if it's not like entirely coherent, it's like you're excavating your emotional landscape, which is like your... Well, to bring it back to gardening, you're turning that soil.
Also, to kind of bring it back to our little theme, like our opening thing that we say, like it really is like turning something into like something that's happening at us into something that like we're experiencing and like processing and aware of.
Yeah.
And that we're like okay with, and that we like, it's like, this is getting me away or to, or like, I just am here for it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's so hard to be in like spaces of discomfort, but also when we kind of accept that life, it consists of many spaces of discomfort, then you can start to embrace it more. Also, I think processing with friends and like loved ones and feeling things is like so important. And it's like, I know this seems so obvious, but it's like, I think I'm like really good at like avoiding things and being like, everything's okay, like a mother like driving like a minivan filled with like screaming kids, being like, we're having fun. like I'm I'm like, no, it's nice to be honest about stuff. Because when you are honest, you can really connect with other people. Yeah, so that's another thing. Another thing quickly that rocks is the I have friendship lamps with everybody in my family.
Oh my God, I love your lamps.
Yeah, so basically it's these lamps. My brothers, family, and my parents and I all have a different lamp. And we each have a different color. And when you touch it, it turns that color in everybody's home. So when I touch it, it turns blue. When my parents touch it, it goes red everywhere. And my brothers touches it, it goes amber in everybody's homes. So it's just a really, because we all don't live close to each other. So it's such a nice way to sort of like do, it's like a casual warming hello, which is like a beautiful thing.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it's totally dope. So I think that totally rocks. Yeah, so that kind of like, oh, also I went out to buy a coffee this morning and it was a small coffee and it was $5.50. So that's out to lunch.
Jesus that's out to Christ. Lunch. So yesterday I was like, I've got to start making coffee for myself. But it's like, I love leaving the house and saying well, hi to people. Well,
that's
the thing.
That could be fine. I think that's fine as long as you do a, I think it's like, if you find a beautiful way of making coffee at home, that's cool. But I think sometimes it is about getting out of the house, taking a walk around the block, getting a coffee, doing a little loop in the park, and then coming back. That can be really worth the $5.50.
I think so too.
If you need it. But like, I think it's when people get caught in like a habit, that's when it's maybe not the coolest thing.
Or like when you're on your way to work and you're like, I'm in a rush, I don't even want to, like, it's just like, I don't even care.
I need this. Yeah. I used to like have to get a really huge coffee every day, and now it's funny because I only like a small coffee in the morning because I have sleep disorder, we all know that. So I'm like, I actually can't have a lot of caffeine. But it's sort of like, yeah, it's so funny. We think that there's only one way we can do something, but really, you have a one big, huge coffee. You're gonna be like, you're telling your digestive system that
I don't
like,
give a fuck.
Yeah, you're like, get ready to feel awful.
Oh my God, when I was I was drinking coffee for the first time in ages when I was on this trip, and I was shitting.
Yeah,
like 7 times a day.
Yeah,
it was cray cray.
Yeah,
it was so.
But the coffee in Europe must be so beautiful with the like nice crema on the top.
Oh my God! And also in Scotland, they like really don't care about health or wellness.
Yeah,
so everything is just like really full fat, delicious. And so I would get like a mocha, and it was like it just felt like melted ice cream. It was the most delicious thing in the universe. And they're like, chocolate is so good there.
Really?
Oh my God, yeah.
That's nice. I feel like there's so much diet culture that people aren't letting themselves have these beautiful, delicious treats, but like one of our five senses is taste. And so it's like, so you gotta give yourself some beautiful flavors and tastes.
I love a decadent latte or mocha.
Oh, I love that. That sounds lovely. Do you do oat milk style?
Yeah, I did oat milk.
Yeah, you got to.
And just didn't think about how maybe it was not good for my body.
Whatever, man.
It's good for the heart.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everything in moderation. I feel like I'm sounding like the most boring person right now.
No. I've been listening and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so soothed. You're like, you're such a beautiful person, and heart is like bigger than the freaking stars.
I love you so much. I have a little bit of a sore heart these days, so it's so nice to hear that.
I think you're incredibly strong and gorgeous.
I love you. I'm going to cry.
Oh, no.
I'm happy, though.
No, you're about to cry. It's okay. Life can be so challenging. And keeping your heart soft is so hard when it's constantly being pummeled and, like, shredded.
Oh my God. This is a comedy podcast.
I know. I've like totally forgotten to be funny today.
I'm so glad we're not recording video.
I know.
I'm so happy. Yeah. We're so lucky. And can I say what else really rocks? It rocks that it's a gray day. I really like today.
For once, I'm like so thankful that the sun is not making fun of me.
Yeah, totally. It's like, well, you know, I can lighten up for it. You know, we all can, but there's something so soothing about how it's like, it feels like we're at a lagoon in Iceland camp. And it's like so cloudy out.
I feel like it's a camp day and they're like, just stay in the bunks tonight. Like have some fun together.
Oh.
Make some lanyards.
Speaking of camp day, I'm going to send a message to our Yankee group and say, I'm going to write, hi, I'm ready for our next class trip.
I
need something to look forward to, and I really like when Zach takes the reins.
I
want
to go to
gets
Cyclones game and get hammered.
Yeah, that sounds freaking amazing, dude. Okay, I would love that so much. Well, you know what? This has been a very tender episode of Epic Life. And I hope if, you know what, we do have at least one listener. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Sam. Thank you so much for holding down the fort. You're amazing.
And if you and if you're not Sam and you're listening, you know what? Why don't you leave us a review? We'd love to know who you are.
Or just text me and say I listen because I have no idea.
We don't know who's listening. We think it actually is only one person named Sam. And you know what? That's fine. It's not. It's literally not stopping us from making
it for him. We like love him so much.
Yeah,
but it would be cool to like know if there's even another person out
there. And I also do think that if like not to be a classic podcast right now, but I think if you actually rate and review, maybe this will reach more listeners. So it's I'm sorry to put it all on your shoulders, but you've got to do it.
And then we can get better because we have the confidence of knowing that everyone is on our side.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to say and hard to ask, but that's
whatever.
What
I mean, like,
for.
Just do it. Like, you're literally, why not do it right now? Yeah. You're not busy. It's all good. Yeah, okay. Up. Well, I'm really happy. Welcome home, Rachel.
Thank you, Sarah. I love you so much.
I love you
Sarah.
Too. And I'm really happy you're back. And I'm really excited about kind of secondhand learning all the cool stuff. And as our next few episodes unfold, we're going to hear some more great tales from Rachel's European travels.
And we're going to hear more about Sarah's beautiful heart.
You better believe it. It is just bleeding. And I love you. No, in a beautiful way. It's like, I'm like also accepting more blood from others.
Yeah.
But you guys rock. We love you.
Bye. Bye.